like, why are you gossiping when you can help someone? I don't understand. Or why are you looking down on other people when you're in a good daughter as well?
This tweet caught my attention the first time I saw it. The strength, love, and elegance left an indelible impression, and I was eager to find out more. I was particularly interested in learning how and why the bride's mother had assumed the traditional role of the father. There was part of me that wondered what the wider community made of this, but this was swiftly answered by simply reading the responses to the tweet, which, as you can see, are all overwhelmingly supportive.
I think she was just really happy. Whether anyone else had said anything or was annoyed, I didn't know about. And I don't think she knew about it as well. I don't think anyone had said anything. But at the end of the day, like, I think the only thing that happened was the person that was supposed to do it looked a bit annoyed. Didn't hear anything from anyone about it. I think everyone just went on as normal. But like the people who were encouraging her, I think we were all like really happy she actually did it. And I think she was really happy herself as well. She'd have been smiling in the face. So that was good.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seat.
Now, in order to understand what's actually going on here, we need to first shed some light, however dim and brief, on what the Pallah ceremony pictured actually is. The Pallah ceremony gains its name from the scarf or shawl in Punjabi known as a Pallah worn by the groom. The ceremony has for centuries traditionally seen the father place one end of the groom's Pallah into the hands of the bride, his daughter, signifying that he has given his daughter away to the groom. Some argue that this shows that the daughter, like any other item or property, belongs to her father and is transferred or handed over in a similar manner. Others argue that this is a stretch and that it is merely an example of the father displaying his care and affection for his daughter, who is now starting her own family. Others, such as Upkar, who have understood the meaning and significance of the Pallah ceremony, only deem it fitting that the person who has played the most important role in their lives performs the most important part of the ritual, in this case, her mother. So where does it originate from? The ceremony seems to have no connection with Sikhi and seems to trace its origin to ancient Indic practices, where marrying off your daughter provided the father with positive karma for the next life. What does it signify? The ceremony has only managed to make it into the modern day as a result of it being reinterpreted as an example of the union of two minds, bodies, or souls. The community has at some point reinterpreted or explained away the existence of this ceremony with an idea that is universal to all world religions. I hope that we understand slightly what the Pallah ceremony is and what it signifies. It should hopefully make more sense as to why Upkar and her mother, like many others, are shaking up the norm. So it's only right we find out more about Upkar's mother first.
Yeah, so she's been talking about quite a lot of years. Like, I think I was very, very young at the time. So I was probably still a baby, really, like less than a year old. So it's been really hard for her, like, just sort of because the expectation is like back in the day when you got married, like divorce wasn't really heard of. And it's still kind of looked down on today, to be honest, as well. There's been some change, but it's not been like a radical change, in my opinion. But like when she got married, it was very much so like the daughter-in-law needs to be really obedient and, you know, she needs to follow her in-laws saying, because that's how they're raised and that's how they grow up. She obviously left her family and she came all the way over here to get married. Yeah, so she was married for a few years and she had me and my sister. And then after she got a divorce, she moved to Harpshire, where I used to live. But she had like a real hard time settling in, because obviously it was just me and her and we were just living with family at the time. So it was hard for her to like adjust, because you've just gotten divorced, it's traumatic, you know, you're away from your family in India as well, you can't see them. So, you know, for her on that sense, it was really, really hard. It's not a lot of support that you get.
So you've told us a little bit about your mother. Could you also then expand on about kind of the role that she played during your Pallah ceremony?
The way we did it, obviously, is that my father isn't in the picture. So I wanted my mom to do it because she was the one who raised me and it only felt right. So yeah, that was my intention, because I felt like, you know, she was the mom and the dad.
Considering how this act upset gender and cultural norms, I had to find out what the reaction was from Upkar's family and the wider community.
General family. So the ones on my mom's side, they were like, okay, if you want to do it, do it. To my mom about the Pallah ceremony. When it came to sort of other members of my family, they were kind of like, so who's going to be doing it? And they're like, no, you can't do it. And I was like, why not? And this is the point where I got really angry, because logically it just doesn't make sense to have someone who doesn't even know me, hasn't been there for me when I was growing up, to do something that's so personal. For me, it was like, this is so wrong. Like, it should be my mum, some family members. And they were just like, no, they're so against it. And I just felt like they didn't have the right, because, you know, it's not their decision, like they're not the parent. But her friends, however, they were really supportive, and they were the ones, like when it was about to happen, they were like, you need to get up, like this is your chance to go do it. And then she just got up and did it. without saying anything to anyone. So she's really courageous for that, and I commend her friends for doing that. But it's really funny sometimes, like, your friends are closer than your family members.
Now, at this point, I got the feeling that the Balla ceremony was a God's way of saying thank you to her mother, because as she says so herself...
To me, it was always a lot more than just the ceremony itself. To me, it was the fact that it was her right. You know, it was her right. It was a fucker to do that. It was something that she deserved to do, because she was the only parent who raised me. She was the mother. So she kind of had to do, like, both roles, in a sense. She was a mother lioness, if you want. So it's just the fact that all that she's been through and all that we've been through together, like, that was her time. And I wouldn't say, like, we've never had a hardship, but a mother and daughter, like, no one's perfect. You know what I mean? Every family has their issues. Like, there are ups and downs in every family. Like, so I would say, like, teenage years, yeah, it's a bit of, like, rocky. But, you know, like, as I grew up and as I started working and stuff like that, we, like, grew a lot closer together. So I would say overall, like, we had a good relationship. It's just, you know, there are ups and downs.
So I think by this point, we have some understanding of what the Balla ceremony is and why Upgard and her mother chose to upset gender and cultural norms in order for her to take the place, or the traditional place, of the father. I obviously wanted to find out more about this, so we had to dive a little deeper and asked Upgard about her upbringing, specifically what her expectations and experiences were like growing up and how it compared to her peers.
Things for me were very different for someone who has two parents, and I don't think anyone who has two parents will understand what it's like for someone who has one parent, because that one parent can sometimes end up being really overprotective of that child because they're on their own. Especially if they're a mother and they have a daughter, because obviously when you're a girl, especially back in the day, right, you're treated very differently from sons. And that still happens today to an extent as well. I mean, it has gotten more lenient, but, like, it still happens today. So you are taught, like, you can't associate with these people, you can't go out late, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. So yeah, I did experience all of that. I wasn't allowed to go out late. I wasn't allowed to always go out with my friends. I was kind of in a protective little bubble. And that was probably where we clashed as well. Because for me, I was like, yeah, but I'm not bad. I know what I'm doing. You know, I'm mature. And as I got older, obviously that changed. And she was a bit more like, you know, she's growing up. But, like, when I was younger, like when I was a teenager, it was kind of like, everyone's doing all these things. Why can't I do it as well? You know what I mean? I want to go out. I want to do this. But it was like, no, this will happen. Or this will happen. Like, she was very scared. And I think an element of that fear was the fact, oh, what if, like, something happens and then everyone starts talking about us? Like, you know, or what if people say, like, oh, she's bad, or she lets her daughter go out late and stuff like that. That's what I really hate about, especially, like, the Afghan community. Sometimes it's just constantly just people gossiping about each other, and it's the worst thing. It's like saying, it's like local yoga. So, and that's probably why, you know, she didn't really... She didn't really let me go out, because I mean, looking back, I understand why she did some of the things she did. She was just trying to protect me. But then, like, going forward, when I have children, obviously I probably wouldn't be as overly protective. But to an extent, I understand why she did it. Now I do when I'm older, but, like, at the time, it was very much so, you're a teenager, you want to go out with your friends, you want to do this, you want to do that. So it's frustrating at the time. But as I mentioned, it is predominantly because she was a single mother as well. And I think people in the community who, you know, there are haters, there are always haters, but there's people who, like, gossip a lot, and they probably, as a single mother, I think she constantly felt, like, on watch. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if she put one step out of place, everyone would say, oh, well, you know, it's because she's a single mother and she can't handle things by herself. So I think that's what she was like that as well.
Also, growing up in a single parent family, in my case, also meant being the kid with free school meals, because I was from a low income family, and buying bags and stationery from the cheaper stores. And for mum, having to be on job seekers and sort of watching every penny she spent, just to make sure that, you know, we had enough, like, for the whole week or the whole month. And that was until I started school, and then she obviously was able to start finding work for herself. And then when I was a bit older, you know, helping to carry heavy shopping home because we didn't have a car. But to be honest, I never felt like I didn't have enough growing up. And that did humble me in a way, because it gave me that work ethic. And so that if I wanted to be a bit more comfortable in life, I need to work hard. I need to earn it for myself, which is always a good life lesson to learn from your parents. And it was also, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but it also instilled in me that I didn't want to rely on anyone else. I wanted to be able to you know, work for myself and earn for myself and be able to never be in that position where if something was to happen that I wouldn't have the finances or the resources to be able to live by myself as well.
So at this point, something struck me. And many of you listening have probably either gone through the same or thought the same as you were listening to the podcast, which is during Upgar's teenage years, like almost every teenager saw friction with her parents. Some of this specifically because of the fear of what the community would say. Now, for me, that seems slightly at odds with breaking gender and cultural stereotypes exemplified by Upgar's Bala ceremony. So what actually caused this 180, and did Upgar's mother have any concern changing her mind?
So when it comes to these sort of things, like in terms of community being really, you know, stereotypical or like having stereotypical, sorry, opinions of what how girls should be and how guys should be and all this, me and my mum had always had loads of conversations about this as a grown up, even more so when I was an adult. Like now, but we've always had conversations about this. I think, you know how a lot of elders still think they don't need to learn anything, they know everything. Sort of like, you know, we know everything, that you should listen to us sort of thing. See, I've never believed in that because I always feel like the more you learn, the more you continue to grow, right? So, and thing is, like, when technology came into place, like, with the apps and the WhatsApp and all this, like, we're constantly, like, the elders are learning from us how to use it. Do you know what I mean? So they're still learning, in a sense. I'm trying to get at it. I think when I was talking to mum about these conversations about, you know, how women are treated or, like, you know, stuff that's in the news or whatever, it's kind of like maybe her trying to get her to unlearn some of the stuff that's been, like, ingrained into her that is, it's not as great, as like, she shouldn't be learning it sometimes. But it's just me trying to get her... It was me trying to get her to unlearn all the stuff that that's not great, that's sort of like community-based, you know, or, you know, gender stereotyping and things like that, you know, how girls should behave or how guys should behave, because, like, we're not really, you know, some people were really supportive, like, my friends supported, my cousin who came from India for the wedding, he was really supportive and he was egging on as well. Some of her friends were also saying, you know, you should do it. So it was, I think, the fact that it wasn't just me as well. It was a collective sort of approach to her changing her mind about it and, you know, saying, yeah, I want to do it. Unfortunately, like, she did get, like, pulled in another direction when she was, like, when everyone said, oh, who's going to do it? And then she was like, oh, I'm going to do it. And they were like, what? Why? And this was, like, specific family members who said this. And then she came to me and then she felt a bit down about it, unfortunately. And then I said, well, no, you need to do it. Because I said, why are you listening to them? Like, it doesn't matter what they think. And then I think up until the actual wedding, like, she still was a bit unsure because of what they said. And then on the wedding day, it was her friends who just sort of, like, went through and said, like, no, go and do it. And then she just got off and did it. I think it was just kind of, like, a sort of, like, a little force that he could say inside of her. She was like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up and just do it. Like, otherwise, I'm never going to get this chance again. I think that might have been what was going through her head. And I think that's what she said to me later on as well. She was like, no, everyone was saying this is your moment. And so I just got up before anyone else could do it. So
if you've kept up with this far, I really appreciate it. And it's a half decent time to ask you guys to subscribe, like, and comment. It helps way more than you can imagine. If you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple or another podcast platform, please make sure to leave a review. Getting back to the podcast quickly, we now come to the last question, which is finding out what Upgar's advice would be to those thinking of doing something similar.
Well, obviously, it's difficult in one way because I don't know how open your parents would be or, you know, how close they would be to the subject. But I think definitely approaching it in a very logical way is the best way, just to say, well, you know, you're never going to get this chance to do it again if you let someone else do it. At the end of the day, I think sort of also taking an emotional approach, you may be playing on the feelings a bit, it sounds a bit weird, but like just sort of saying, you know, well, at the end of the day, you raised me, like, you're a strong person, you raised me by yourself. You did the job of two parents, which two parents should have done, but you did on your own. And just sort of making them understand that it's important to you because you'll have those memories for life. You know, you'll carry on with those memories, and whether photographic or just in your head as well. But it's a loving moment, like, between, like, a child and their mother or father. So I think approaching it in that way is the best way, in my opinion, just to sort of make them resonate with you, make them relate to how you're feeling as well, so that maybe they can think about it in their head. And just say, like, do you know what? No one else's opinion matters, because at the end of the day, they're all going to go to a wedding, they're going to eat your food, complain about your food, and go home anyway. Like, people complain regardless. It doesn't matter what they complain. If they're going to complain anyway, just do it anyway. There definitely should be more awareness created for single parents. I don't think it's talked about enough. I don't think, obviously, a lot of people can't relate to it because they're not in that situation, but I definitely think it should be talked about more, because it is a lot harder for them. And I don't really know, in the community how much support they get, but from my perspective and how I've grown up, like, unless you know people, you're like close to certain people, I've never really had that support, like, especially when you're looking for jobs and stuff, and everyone's just like, oh, everyone finds it themselves, or we'll get back to you, and no one ever does. Or just the way that I think single parents, especially single mothers, are just looked down on a bit sometimes as well, I think it's not great. Just because, you know, they do so much and they don't deserve that just because they're a woman and they're divorced. I think a lot of people like also blame the woman as well all the time, when it's not always necessarily their fault, or there isn't any fault, it's just amicable and something happened. At the end of the day, like, I feel like, especially in Gurdwara, like, when you have a Sangha, like, Sangha should be supportive of one another, but there's all these other things that come into play. Instead of being supportive, they just gossip. And I think that's something that really needs to change in the community. Like, why are you gossiping when you can help someone? I don't understand. Or why are you looking down at other people when you're in a Gurdwara as well? That's the one place everyone should feel like they're safe or in a safe environment, and they're not being stereotyped, not being, you know, looked down on by anyone else, because everyone's supposed to be equal. But yeah, I just think definitely there should be more awareness created. That's kind of why I put the tree up in the first place. I just felt like, okay, I kept seeing like all these people getting married, but I do see like the mother doing the filler ceremony as well, but I don't see it enough. So I just wanted to contribute to that and see if anyone relates to how I feel as well. And there was loads of people, obviously, as you said, there was comments on people relating to it, and that made me feel really happy.
So you've made it to the end of another great podcast. I hope you really enjoyed this. Let me know what you think of the new structure in the comments, and don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Otherwise than that, I will see you all next time.